Okay, good morning. Thank you. We read Parshat Yitro yesterday, Parshat Yisro. We started Shabbos at Mincha. And in the beginning of Parshat Yisro, Moshe Rabbeinu greets a wandering Middle Easterner who's wandering through the desert. So I want to thank you for greeting me. I'm on my way back to Eretz Yisrael. I miss my home, but hopefully my journey is about to conclude. But it's a great way to conclude the journey. Returning to Parshas B'Shalach, the Parsha began with a staggering act of chesed. There's a frenzied euphoria when Am Yisrael departs Mitzrayim. It's a hustle and a bustle, excitement, chaos even, and everyone's busy, except for one person. There's one person who's not too busy to remember Yosef HaTzadik's bones, to remember an ancient haftacha, an ancient promise, Vayikach Moshe Satzmos Yosef Imo Ki Ashbe Ashbia. Despite all of his responsibilities and duties, Moshe Rabbeinu is able to focus and maintain the sense of Gemilas Chasadim as Am Yisrael is departing Mitzrayim, because the departure is not complete unless and until Yosef HaTzadik's bones are also attended to. So I thought it'd be a nice opportunity to consider the various forms of Gemilas Chasadim. As we all know, the source of Gemilas Chasadim, the Pasuk which obligates, and I can't say obligates, Chesed isn't an obligation, it's an honor, the Pasuk which offers us the portrait of Chesed is the well-known Pasuk, V'hafta l'reacha kamocha. And we're probably also familiar with Rabbi Akiva's famous statement. We probably all can hum the tune, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar, V'hafta l'reacha kamocha. Tunes have a way of sticking in our neshama. And source number two is really the framework in which Rabbi Akiva's statement was presented. Source number two is taken from Taras Kohanim. Taras Kohanim is a selection of midrashim surrounding Sefer Vayikra. Most of these midrashim have a halachic nature. Medrash Rabbah, for example, contains the more moralistic and general midrashim. Taras Kohanim contains the halachic sections. It's otherwise known as the Sifra. It's another name for a Taras Kohanim. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, Rabbi Akiva Omer, source number two, Ze klal gadol batara. We all know the song, Ze klal gadol batara. What's fascinating about Rabbi Akiva's statement is his employment of the word klal. If you and I were writing the statement, we would write Zu mitzvah gadol batara, Zu halacha gadol batara, the Yesod Gadol Batara, Iker Batara. Why does Rabbi Akiva employ the term Klal Gadol Batara? It's an important mitzvah, it's a central mitzvah, it's a significant mitzvah, but why the word Klal? The word Klal doesn't just mean important. The word Klal also means, what does Klal mean? General, encompassing. What's the opposite of a Klal? A Prat, specific. In logic, a prat can be derived from a klal, can be inferred from a klal. By describing the after l'reacha kamocha, gemilas chasadim, with the term klal, Rabbi Akiva intends the following. Not only is it an important mitzvah, but it's a portal. It's a template. It's a portal. It's a baseline or a paradigm from which all the other mitzvahs can be derived, can be inferred. It's not just a chief or cardinal or important mitzvah, it's a klal. And all the pratim, all the details can be achieved, can be understood, can be derived from this template, from this baseline. And Rabbi Akiva, of course, got his sense of klal gadol from the lashon of the pasuk. If you take a look at the first source, take it from Parshas Kedoshim, it's probably the most dense list of mitzvot ben adam l'chavero in the entire Torah. The beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, we all know Kedoshim tiyu, ki kadoshin Hashem elokichem, should be holy. So what does it mean to be holy? To sit in shul, to sit in beis medrash? No, Kedoshim tiyu, ish ava v'im atirov, honor your parents, be a mensch. That's how you're holy. Don't sequester yourself, don't retreat. It's an interesting parsha. To be kadosh, just be a nice, kind person. And the Torah describes a whole laundry list of mitzvot ben adam l'chavero. Look at source number one, please. Urbekutzuchem es kitzir artzuchem lo sechaleh pasot chol ikitzar v'leke kitzir chol lo selake. Staka, peya, leket karmacha lo te'olel. Second line of source number one. Lo tignovu, lo tikachashu, lo tishakru. Don't just deliver tzedakah, don't cheat, don't steal, don't lie. Source number one, line number two. Lo tishavu b'shmi lashaker. Don't lie, don't swear falsely. Line number three. Lo tashal kisriacha, lo tigzol. Don't withhold salaries. And then the halachos, bein adam l'chaver, become a little more subtle. Lo sekalel cheresh. Don't verbally abuse those who are vulnerable. Lifneiver lo titein michshol. Don't exploit those who either don't have sight or don't have knowledge. Don't fool people. Don't deceive people. Lo tasu avol b'mishpat. Line number four, judicial distortion, judicial perversion. Line number five, lo seilei rachel b'amecha. Lo semad adam riacha. The isur lashon hara. Line number five, lo tisnas achicha b'levavecha. Don't detest or contempt another yid. Ochiach tochiach. And then what's at the top of this pyramid? You see the pyramid that the Torah is building? What's at the pinnacle? What's at the apogee of this pyramid? The last line? V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. And the Torah is describing v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha not just as an important mitzvah, but the Torah is describing v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha as the top of that pyramid. And the entire pyramid slopes down from its pinnacle. Every brick is connected, as it were, to the top of that pyramid. If you read the psukim in reverse order, after the Re'echa Kamocha, you can slide down the pyramid and build the pyramid. So the Kiva's connotations of Klal Gadol is not just an important mitzvah, it's a central mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah that can be seen as a template, as a paradigm, which all other mitzvahs can be derived from. It's a Klal Gadol Batara, it's a Klal. Some of you may have seen a Mishnah in Shabbos, Klal Gadol, the seventh parak of Shabbos, the 39 melachos are klalim, and all the pratim, the talados, the isurim, can be derived. The truth is, this was not Rabbi Akiva's innovation. Obviously, it was the Torah's innovation. But about 100, 150 years before Rabbi Akiva, an earlier Tana already understood that v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is not just an important mitzvah, but a portal, an entryway, an access point for kol ha'tar kula. You said correctly, none other than Hillel. Hillel lived, of course, before Rabbi Akiva, one of the earlier Tanayim. Source number three, the very, very famous story, Shuv Maisa Benachri Echad Shebalef Ne Shammai. So Ger, a candidate for Gerus, approached Shammai, and he requested instant Gerus. Gaireni Al Menashe Talamdeni Kol HaTara Kula Al Regalachas. I want to convert, but I don't want to study, I don't want to work. I want the joys of Yiddishkeit without the burden. We all want that. I don't think we all want that, but some people seem to covet the beauty without the work, without the toil, without the labor. So Shammai was a purist, and Shammai looked him in the eye and said, "You must be kidding. People spend entire lifetime studying Torah, perfecting their avodas Hashem, and you want a 15-minute conversion? Forget about it." But Hillel was a bit more realistic and practical. We have serious, serious Gerus controversies today in Eretz Yisrael, and part of our struggle is to find a policy that's both pragmatic, to embrace millions of Jews who want to belong to our people, but it's also halachic. And it's not easy to walk that tightrope. And we all felt this summer various tensions which erupted because different views were expressed about how to balance or blend those two variables, those two pressures. So Hillel was much more practical. So what did Hillel say? Source number three. Amar lo, second line. Notice carefully. Hillel didn't cite the pasuk v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Hillel translated it. Love is very abstract. How do I love someone? Hillel tried to render it as a more practical definition. In fact, if you ask any good Christian, where does it say, do unto others as you would do unto yourself? They say, oh, it's in the Bible. It isn't in the Bible. The Bible says, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, love thy neighbor like thyself, or love your neighbor. Hillel concretizes it. It's hard to love people. Sometimes it's hard to love Jews. Jews are sometimes obstinate, incorrigible, it's a big mitzvah. But Hillel says, even if you can't love people, d'alecha sani l'chavrach lo tavid. Treat others as you would treat yourself. If there are certain attitudes and behaviors and policies that you would not wish upon yourself, don't apply them to others. Source number three, line number two. Listen to Hillel. This is about 100, 150 years before Rabbi Akiva. Zu hi kol atara kula. Here is Yiddishkeit in a nutshell. The Idach and the rest of the Torah, Perusha. It's just a commentary. It's just the details. Zilgmor. Study it yourself. So Rabbi Akiva is operating on Hillel's influence. Rabbi Akiva articulates Kol Gadol B'Torah. His intention is to reformulate Hillel's original response. If you excel in Chesed, if you excel in Menschlichkeit, in Leif Tov, then you could build the overall fabric of your Avodas Hashem from that behavior, from that attitude. Idach Perusha, Zil Gemor. Learn it on your own. Now there's a very interesting question which I want to discuss as a sidebar, and then we'll return to the Shia. I'll just ask you, my mother just came, if you can help her. Ivana, my mother just arrived. If you can help her get a seat, I don't know if she knows where it is. Ivana, I'll introduce me. My mother, I think there's a seat here for you. Rashi asks a very interesting question. Hillel was responding or delivering the entire Torah to this gear. The gear required the entire fabric of Yiddishkeit. So Hillel responded with behalf of the Reach HaKamoch. I understand Hillel or Rabbi Akiva. I can learn about the Isser of Geneva and Sheker and Shu Hashav and all sorts of Ben Adam L'Chavero can be derived from behalf of the Reach HaKamoch. But what about Ben Adam L'Makom? How am I to arrive at Tefillin, Matzah, Sukkah, Paraduma? What did we talk about before? Bircha Sachama, once in 28 years. All right, we have the Shir Sima Bircha Sachama. How am I to extrapolate the entire world of ritual, of tefillah, Karban Pesach, Karban Chatas, Tumah V'Tara? Seems as if Hillel shortchanged this gear. He sold him a bill of goods. This gear was interested in the entire Torah, and Hillel offered him some compromise. Be a mensch and you'll arrive at the entire Torah. Doesn't seem to reconcile. So Rashi already raises that question. Source number 4. D'alecha sani l'chavrach lo tachet. Rashi, source number 4. Rashi begins by citing the pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk writes as follows, Re'acha v'rei avicha al tazov. Don't betray a friend. Re'acha, your friend, v'rei avicha, and your father's friend, don't betray. Pasuk which speaks about friendship. I normally, Sunday mornings, teach young men. That's my normal responsibility. Very interesting trait that young boys don't naturally possess. It's called friendship. Women, girls have an easier time with friendship. For boys, friendship is a bag of potato chips in a football game. And let's be friends. Friendship is sacrificing your time, your resources, on behalf of other people, listening to other people. I often teach them how to be a friend. Friendship is also loyalty. I don't think any of us in this room are expressing loyalty to one another. We have common interests. We're all here to study Torah. I'm here to try to share Torah. So our interests converge. What happens when your interests diverge with other people? Your trajectories are different. Your interests are different. But you have a friend that needs you, and you're no longer in the same path. You're no longer in the same station of life, but that person needs you. It's called loyalty. You're loyal to your people, to your past, people that have shared your past, people that have touched you in your past. Loyalty carries a price. I'm one of the directors of admissions in our yeshiva. And I remember a boy once entered yeshiva, wanted to transfer from another yeshiva, and he was not necessarily a boy who was suitable with our yeshiva, who could have succeeded in our yeshiva, and after interviewing him, we asked him to look elsewhere. And then Rav Lichtenstein, our yeshiva, called me over and said, I think we have to accept him. Why? Because his grandfather had done certain favors for salvation, and we owed a debt of loyalty to his grandfather. I said, fine, put him in your share, don't put him in my share. Well, loyalty is one thing. We're talking about loyalty, that carried a price. So loyalty and friendship is itself a trait of menschlichkeit, of midos, of character, of virtue. And that's the primary intention of the pasuk in Mishlei, Perech of Zayin. But listen to Rashi's interpretation, the continuation of source number 4. Re'ach v'rei avicha al tazav, zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we relate to the Ribono Shel Olam? What type of relationship do we build? How do we envision him? What types of passions and emotions do we invest in that lifelong relationship? So of course there are many different images which we associate with Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's a melech, Avinu Malkeinu, he's a father, he's a melech, he's a yotzer, he's a bari olam, he's so many different aspects. Mechalko chayim b'chesed, mechayim esim b'rachamim rabim, he's a bal chesed. We try to appreciate him through those various prisms. Rashi demands that we see the Ribono Shel Olam not just as a melech, not just as a father, not just as a creator, as a friend. Re'acha v're'a v'icha al tazav zu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just as you're loyal to a friend even when your interests are no longer synchronous, you're loyal at a price, you have to be loyal to the Ribono Shel Olam. What does it mean to be loyal? Well, there's some days I get up in the morning and I'm thrilled to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. Mitzvahs make sense. Torah is attractive. Religion is appealing. What about the days I'm not so thrilled to be religious? When I'm a little bit sterile or dry inside? When Avodah Hashem is no longer as tempting or as compelling? At that point, I'm able to draw upon loyalty and say, well, the Ribono Shel Olam has been supporting me, has been breathing life into me, has been maintaining me. From the moment I entered this world, I would spend 3 minutes without oxygen. Rahman al-Itzlan, what would my life be like? What would my capacity and faculties be like? And if the Ribono Shel Olam has been loyal to me, then I should reciprocate that loyalty because he's my friend. The broader and more diverse our relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, the more versatile, the more enduring, the more durable it is. Because the emotional cycle of a human being is variant. It changes. It oscillates. And if we're emotionally broad and versatile, we can draw upon different resources to sustain religion, to reinforce Avodas Hashem. And Rashi's point is, don't just see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech, as a father, see him as a friend. Ostensibly, what Hillel was telling this ger, this candidate, if you excel in menschlichkeit and v'avta l'recha kamocha and chesed and friendship, you'll not only arrive at ben adam l'chavero, midos and staka and chesed and the aser sheker. If you are a true friend and you appreciate the trait of loyalty, then you'll also succeed in ben adam l'makom. The Kodesh Baruch Hu expects certain mitzvos, tefillin, sukkah, matzah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Well, you'll also understand their meaning and their symbolism, but you'll also perform them out of loyalty. Even when they're not as exciting or enthusiastic to you. Hillel was able to distill the mitzvah v'ahavta l'recha kamocha as a centerpiece, as a template, not only for ben adam l'chavero, but Adam Lamakam as well. And that's what Rashi fills out. That's how Rashi completes Hillel's presentation. Quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, friendship is an access point to Adam Lamakam as well. This was Hillel's intention, and 150 or so years later, it should be Akiva's formulation, Zekha Gadol Batara. But the truth is, it wasn't Rabbi Akiva's innovation, and it wasn't Hillel's discovery. Someone had discovered that chesed and morality and loyalty is an entree to religion well before Hillel. Who was that person? Avraham is the earliest. Between Avraham and Hillel. I'll give you a hint, since it's Midrashat Yom Rishon, Mechlelet Yom Rishon, what's it called? Midrashat Yom Rishon. It was a woman. Oh, that's a trick question. Between Avraham and Hillel, and it was a woman. Discovered chesed and loyalty as the entree point to religion. Right. Excellent. Excellent. Do we have any record of Rut studying in the Beis Medrash, learning the halachos of conversion, dipping in a mikvah? Of course Chazal read that into the Pesukim. Of course she couldn't convert without accepting mitzvahs. But what does the text provide? Amechami, Basher Talun Alun, Basher Telech Eilech, where you go, I go, where you die, I die. Remember, we all know the ending of Megillas Rus. We know there was one happy ending, and they found support and financial provision, and Ruth, of course, was the grandmother of Shlomo and David HaMelech. But keep in mind, Ruth was returning with her mother-in-law to absolute certain death, the famine, and Naomi was a traitor. Naomi didn't depart Beit Lechem to visit her family in America. Naomi abandoned the Jewish people in the time of famine and traveled to Iran, to our sworn enemy, to Midian, the equivalent of Iran or Syria. And she would be tried as a traitor, or at the very least left to die in the empty fields of Beit Lechem. And who makes the right decision, ultimately? Not Ruth. Orpah makes the right decision, because Naomi will face certain death, and Naomi and Orpah should join her. Now there are two mouths to feed. What does the Gemara say? If two people are traveling in the desert, and there's only one flask of water, do you share the water so that both will die, or do you drink the water so that only one person will die? Drink the water. And Orpah makes the right decision. But Ruth taps into a level of morality that transcends practical concerns. I may not be able to help you, I may die with you, but I won't abandon you. That transcends pragmatic concerns. The alternate opinion in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, if you have one flask of water, divide it in half. At least you don't abandon someone. So whether two people will die, how can I stand by when you die and I'm drinking water? We don't accept that position halachically, of course. We rule like Rabbi Akiva because we accommodate practical concerns. But there's a level of loyalty and commitment, of morality and integrity, that alternate position represents. I can't stand by when another person suffers. I will indulge and participate in that suffering that Ruth adopts. Because of her moral heroism, she converts to Judaism. That becomes her access point. That becomes her discovery. Because of her morality, because of her chesed, because of her commitment to her mother-in-law, even when they face certain mutual death. And of course, the Rabbanu Shel Olam intervenes, and of course, Boaz comes to the rescue, and of course, we all know the ending. But they didn't. And it takes an act of courage, acting outside of the box, to build redemption. So it wasn't Rabbi Akiva's discovery. It wasn't Phyllis' discovery. It was Ruth's innovation. And as you said so correctly, it wasn't even Ruth's discovery or Ruth's discovery. It was Avraham Avinu's. Because Avraham Avinu looked around his world, and most people saw a sterile cosmos driven by science, by physics, material planets circling the earth, animals roaming the wild seas and oceans, ceaselessly casting their waves upon the sand. And most people saw science. And Avram saw morality. Avram saw provision. Avram saw life. Avram saw mechalkel chayim b'chesed. Avram saw a creator, a provider, a sustainer. And he craved to be like that creator. He wanted to introduce prosperity, welfare, to be an agent of the Ribono Shel Olam, to reshape our world and our reality in the image of the Ribono Shel Olam that he sensed, the Lashon of the Chazal, Ra Biro Dolekas. He saw a city alive with life. When a Jew looks at his world, he doesn't just see people, science, arts. These are all enrichments of our view. We see chesed. We see generosity, nobility of spirit, selflessness, provision, families. And Avram was not the Isha Chesed, and alongside of the Isha Chesed, he was the Isha Emuna, the man who discovered it. He discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his Chesed. He became the man of faith because he was a man of Chesed. And he didn't just deliver gospel. He delivered welfare. He didn't just proselytize. He redeemed. He didn't just educate. He relieved distress. And his message was that a God in heaven desires human welfare and prosperity, and serving that God is ennobling to human experience. So follow my lead, and your lives will be enriched. And that is where Rabbi Akiva drew it from. It was a long, long legacy, originating from Avraham Avinu, expressing itself in Rus's heroism and the birth of Jewish dynasty of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, percolating its way through Hillel and that quiet moment where that individual convert approached Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva crystallized it. Zeh Klal Gadol Batar. Well, you probably all know that the song ends there. But the Medrash doesn't end. The song ends, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Zeh Klal Gadol Batar. Believe it or not, there's a dissenting opinion in the Medrash. There's someone who believes that there's an even more important pasuk than behalf of the Re'acha Kamacha. And let's discover the dissenting opinion, the alternate pasuk, which may be, in some people's minds, more important than behalf of the Re'acha Kamacha, a different source of chesed, a different reason, a different motive for performing chesed. Source number two. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Zeh Klal Gadol Batara. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai disagree. Ben Azai Omer, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. Zeh Klal Gadol Batara. A pasuk which surpasses V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. More important. Source number five, you can take a glance at the actual pasuk. It's from Bereishis Perakei, Pasuk Aleph. Zeh Sefer Toldos HaAdam. This is the annals, the history of man. B'yom Bira Elokim Adam, when God created man, B'dimus Elokim Asa'asa. Then as I felt, there's a superior pasuk. There's a different reason we perform chesed. A more important verse. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha is oriented towards the recipient of chesed. Person suffers, I sense misery, I discern injustice, and I try to relieve it, I try to provide solace, as best I can, support, sympathy, and recourse. But according to Ben Azai, there's an entirely different motive for chesed. Every human being is gifted with a tzelem elokim, with a divine image. And what is that divine image? Everything that discriminates us from animals. Our emotions, our intellect, our creativity, our hopes, our dreams, our neshama, our talents, our potential. The thing that ennobles us beyond the animal kingdom. Everything but the skin and bones you see in front of you right now. And when a human being suffers, not only is there a personal tragedy, there's a divine tragedy. The potential, the rabbona shel olam, delivered to that human being, that potential has been diminished, it's been tarnished, it's been broken, it's been dismantled. And when I sense that divine tragedy, the loss, the deterioration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift, I'm driven to replenish it, to restore it, to partner with Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to rebuild the world he created in a world that's fallen. When I say a world that's fallen, I don't just mean a world, I mean an inner world that is suffering, that is in crisis. And according to Ben Azai, that's an even greater incentive for chesed. Tzelem Elokim, Dimus Elokim. Do you sense divine potential that's in distress? Can you partner with Kodesh Baruch Hu and rebuild that original gift? And reestablish potential. And reestablish hope, life, prosperity, success. And according to Ben Azai, that's an even greater compulsion. Now, of course, we don't have to paskin like Rabbi Akiva or Ben Azai. For us, chesed is is a composite. Perhaps we perform chesed based both on the impetus of Rabbi Akiva as well as the complement of Ben Azai. But Ben Azai's model of chesed stretches chesed in manners that Rabbi Akiva's model does not or cannot. There are two recipients of chesed, potential recipients of our chesed, which Rabbi Akiva may not embrace, but Ben Azai's source does. Rabbi Akiva's pasuk "Be'avda l'reacha kol malcha" refers to reacha. Who is our friend? Doesn't just mean our friend, our buddies, our colleagues, our acquaintances. Reacha means people of our community, of our faith community, Jews primarily. Chazal darshin reacha, reacha b'mitzvos. People who march shoulder to shoulder with us within our community, within our people, within our historical journey. Rabbi Akiva's pasuk halachically is limited to Jews. I do not have a mitzvah of chesed towards a Gentile based on Rabbi Akiva's pasuk. But if my drive for chesed is not just behalf to the Re'acha Kamocha, but Tzelem Elokim, every single creature of the Ribono Shel Olam possesses the Tzelem Elokim. Every single creature, both Jew and Gentile, has that gift from Kodesh Baruch Hu. When that gift suffers or is in decline, is my divine responsibility to respond, to rehabilitate, even a good. And ironically, it's Rabbi Akiva himself who recognizes this in a very famous Mishnah. Please take a look at source number 6. Very important Mishnah in today's milieu, in today's discourse. Hu haya omer, source number 6. It's in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and it refers to Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah beforehand, preceding, had quoted Rabbi Akiva. Chaviv Adam shenivra b'tzelem. Every human being possesses tzelem Elokim. Every Adam. Chiba yaseira shenivra b'tzelem. Shenemar b'tzelem Elokim asas Adam. But the Mishnah concludes. Chaviv in Yisrael. Shenikru vanim labakam. Every Gentile has a tzelem Elokim. But a Jew doesn't just have tzelem Elokim, he's the son of the Ribono Shel Olam. It is a real trick, it's a real art to balance these two segments of the Mishnah. As an educator, as a teacher, I sense two trends in my Talmidim and I assume in the general community. Some people are so zealous in their Judaism, so committed, so passionate in their avodas Hashem, that a xenophobia develops, a contraction, and a dismissiveness towards Gentiles that borders on bigotry. As if there are about 12 million people that inhabit this earth, and the other 5 billion are just adjuncts. And their lives, chas v'shalom, are meaningless, and have no part or no interest in participating in their lives. I also detect that some students and some people are so universalistic in their worldview, so humanistic, that they abdicate that unique sense of what it is to be a Jew and our national heritage and our national journey and our historical challenge and the historical struggle of Judaism. And there's got to be a balance between the recognition of the unique historical mission of Am Yisrael, of everyone in this room, of Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem, that we are children of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we are challenged with the unique mission and responsibility which carries privilege and obligation, honor and courage, without abandoning or surrendering that shared global sense of inhabiting a planet with other creatures of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's a case-by-case resolution, but attitudinally, there should be no conflict. There may be moments of conflict, but theoretically, existentially, the two are meant to complement. And halacha addresses those moments of conflict. I remember a few years ago, it was Simchas Torah in Yeshiva. And you all know the energy, the excitement, the anticipation that builds, especially with 500 boys in one room, as Simchas Torah is about to break out. So the Rosh Yeshiva of our yeshiva, Rav Amital, stood up to to deliver the pre-Simchas Torah Sicha, the pre-Simchas Torah Shmuz. And he's an elderly, stately Rosh Hashiva, so he speaks in a hushed voice. So we move forward, surge of voice moving forward to listen. Didn't have a microphone, it jumped it. And that night he told us as follows, about 2.5 years ago. He said, the past year, humanity suffered 3 tragedies. The tsunami, about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, he's referring to the year beforehand. The tsunami, Hurricane Katrina, and earthquakes in Pakistan. That all happened within a few months of each other. The Rabboni Shalom, he said, does not celebrate the loss of innocent lives. There is no joy in Shemayim when people lose their lives without cause. I want you all to daven tonight that for the coming year, the Rabboni Shalom should not take any more innocent lives. And he sat down. And that night I walked home beaming with pride. And my Rebbe told me on Simchas Torah to daven for some goyim. Especially in an environment in which religion is being tarnished. On September 11th, it wasn't just the Twin Towers were under attack. It was the concept of religion. Religion is being miscast to the world as a religion of death and suffering and anger and hatred and revenge, and God is happy when people lose their lives, and Allah Akbar. And part of our challenge is not just defending ourselves, taking security measures, but defending the presence of Kodesh Baruch Hu, formulating a religion of compassion and sympathy, of rachamim, of chesed, of shalom ba'olam. It's part of our challenge. Religion is under attack. Denying the ways of God is tantamount to denying God himself. So they may not be agnostic or atheist, because they accept a monotheistic God, but it's the equivalent, because they vandalize the presence of the Rabboni Shalom. It's our responsibility to restore that presence. And every single creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a divine image. And they may not have been candidates for chesed in Rabbi Akiva's model, but they certainly are candidates for chesed in Ben Azai's model. But if you can imagine, even more importantly, there's a second candidate for chesed who may not be a recipient of Rabbi Akiva's chesed, but is certainly a recipient of Ben Azai's chesed. Anyone know? We've talked about Jews. We've talked about Gentiles. So who's left? Okay, the environment. That's not today's topic. Maybe a different time. The recipient of chesed that it's hardest to perform chesed for. Well, I don't have to tell you. You have a harder time with it than I do. Yourself. The hardest chesed is the chesed we perform for ourselves. Hillel once left the Beis Medrash. Source number 7. Hillel hazakeh in b'sha shahaya niftar mitalmidav hayim halich v'holech. He left the Beis Medrash. Amar lo talmidav, Rabbi, leichan ata holech. Where are you going? Amar lehem, lasos mitzvah. I'm going to perform a mitzvah, to perform some chesed. They assumed he was going to chop wood for an elderly person, or deliver meals on wheels, or come chay Shabbos or something. So they followed their Rebbe. Amar lo, b'chima mitzvah hilal osas. They followed him. Amar lo, hey, amirchatz b'merchatz. And they saw Hillel enter the gym. Hillel went for his workout. He went on the elliptical, or sparring with Shammai maybe. Hillel went to perform chesed. Went to the base of Merchatz, to the gym. That's chesed. You lied to us. Amar lo, source number 7, line 3, Zui mitzvah, this is your chesed? Amar lemi, said yes. Claimed, this is the Rabboni Shalom's gift. This is the Rabboni Shalom's body. This is the, these are the resources the Rabboni Shalom delivered to you. And you have to preserve it. And replenish it when it becomes depleted. And reinforce it. And sometimes we reach the end of the line and we don't allow ourselves to perform chesed to ourselves. As I mentioned before, I sense, I'm not a woman, nor have I ever been one. I have children, I have young girls, and of course my wife, and I sense that it's a particular challenge for women to allow self-chesed, to replenish the self, to know when to draw the line, and when you have to restore and rejuvenate your resources and spirit so that you can continue to give, so that you can continue to deliver. Hillel reasoned, Uma'im okunio shom lachim, idols and statues of kings, shenamidenos on the batei teatrals that are held on display, they're polished, they're buffed. Anu, line number 5, source 7, shenivreinu b'tselem, we're created in God's image, b'dmus elokim, and Hillel himself quoted Ben Azai's pasuk. He was a traitor. Hillel was a Rabbi Akiva man. And he recorded Ben Azai's pasuk to his Talmidim. Tzelem elokim, alachas kama v'kama. And the Gemara, the Medrash concludes, or starts with the pasuk, line number 1, gomel nafsho ish chesed. If you're a man of chesed, you understand how to perform chesed to yourself. Remember, a couple of years ago, I visited Prague. And when I think it was our 15th anniversary, someone ran over to me and said, whatever you do, wherever you go to Prague, enjoy the sights, just don't visit the Charles Bridge. Has anyone visited the Charles Bridge in Prague? Why can't you visit the Charles Bridge? Because of that idol. The idol, I'll tell you in a moment. In the 13th century, a Jew blasphemed, and his punishment was to donate money for an idol of Yashka, and to adorn the idol with golden letters spelling the pasuk, which I won't even say, but I'll say the first word, Kadosh. As my mother can attest, if you tell me to do something, if you tell me not to do something, it's almost like inviting me to do it. So that was the first place I went to. The first we got off the plane, first place, let's go to the Charles Bridge. And it was the most inspiring moment of the trip. For two reasons. First of all, because the idol was full of cobwebs. Cobwebs. The idol had become Spider-Man. I said, they don't even have enough self-respect to buff their idols. And I thought of my own country, Israel, and in 60 years, what we've created, an economic superpower, and we care for our national monuments, we have a strong, robust economy, and we defend ourselves against Arab aggression, and they've had hundreds of years, and they can't manage to buff their own idols. And I thought of this medrash, of Hillel, describing to his students that every idol, every royal statue is buffed, and they obviously didn't know the medrash. Second reason I was inspired, because I walked past that idol, I felt revulsion. I was agitated. I felt an inner rebellion. But in the back of my mind, I knew that in 3 days I was returning to Eretz Yisrael. So I had the defiance to stand tall and look at that idol and reject it and defy it. I couldn't help thinking, what must it have felt like for Jews throughout the centuries to walk through Prague, depressed and broken, persecuted and discriminated against, and walk by that idol? Has anyone ever visited the Altenai Shul? The famous, famous Altenai Shul. We heard so many stories, and you walk into it, it's a hovel. Because the Jews weren't allowed to build anything taller than the local squires or the local cathedrals. That is all they were allowed to build. Could you imagine the courage and the heroism and the faith it must have taken for our grandparents to walk past that idol every day of their lives and retain their faith? And I felt that it was an honor to walk in their footsteps. To visit that site of such heroism, I had Israel, I had my own lifeline. I had my own life jacket waiting for me in the background. I could step on that plane, go back on El Al, and return to Eretz Yisrael. So I had my own faith intact. I wasn't assailed. I didn't feel vulnerable. But what type of heroism and faith must it have taken these Jews to resist this type of persecution, this offensive, back-breaking discrimination? So if anyone ever goes to Prague, I think that's the most inspiring part of the trip. Now I've got to face down that idol and stare it in the eyes and remember the Jews who walked across those stones. Sometimes we have a difficult challenge providing chesed for ourselves. Reminding ourselves of when we need to replenish, when we need to reset and recalibrate, we need time off, we need a quiet Shabbos, we need not to have company that Shabbos, we need, I'm sure you're all translating it as I am. That's also Gemilas Chasadim, chesed to ourselves. And that's the second candidate of chesed, which Ben Azai accommodates, or who Ben Azai accommodates, Rabbi Akiva may not. So far we've described two legs of Gemilas Chasadim. And as I alluded to earlier, they're not mutually exclusive. There are moments we respond at a visceral level. We sense sympathy and compassion. We see a human being suffering, and we can't help but respond. Our heart is broken, and we cannot quiet it until we provide some sort of relief. And to me, that's the first call of chesed. Not a philosophical, theological sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine gift, but a visceral human response. Moshe sees a Jew being flayed, and he responds despite the peril and the danger of such intervention. And as a convict and a fugitive, the next day he sees Jews quarreling and he can't help himself. I was walking into this building, this is the first time I've been in this building, and Dasi Brandstatter, who's my mishpacha, also is telling me this used to be the Soloveitchik school. So I'm reminded of one of my rebbeim, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. He had such an irrepressible moral fiber. I've never seen anything like it. He would open up a block Gemara, and he would read the first two lines, and he would launch into a three-hour moral tirade against social injustice, conservative rabbis ruining the world, whatever it was. He just couldn't contain him. The little that I know about his history as a rav in Chicago, I'm not an expert on the history of the Chicago Jewish community. Maybe there are experts here. He got him into trouble. He defended hopeless individuals, shalchatim, who wanted to break the mafia. You don't battle the mafia, shlita. There's big money in the mafia. You just ignore them, right? He couldn't. He simply couldn't hold himself back. In his yeshiva in Skokie in the 70s, you'd walk in there, there'd be hobos and vagabonds and homeless people. It'd be like a shelter. Because how can you stand by and let people suffer? How can you just turn the other cheek? How do you harden your heart? Then this goes back a long way. I was interviewing a boy for the yeshiva. And all the teachers and principals lined up to say, oh, this boy is a shoo-in. You know, interview the other boys. Don't waste your time. He's a valedictorian. He's the best boy. He's the smartest boy. He's the greatest kid. Don't waste your time. Okay, I said, you know, just let me spend a few minutes with him. I asked him the classic interview question. And then I asked him, do you perform any chesed? He told me this chesed, that chesed. So I asked him, why? Why do you perform chesed? I was appalled by the answer. He said, because Baruch Hashem, I come from a comfortable family, but one day we may not be so comfortable. Fortunes change. So I have to contribute to society at this stage so that one day if I have needs and vulnerabilities, I can take from society. I thought that I was interviewing John Locke or Thomas Hobbes. I asked for chesed and you provide social contract theory. I was indignant. Perform chesed because of future maneuvering that one day you'll need, so you have to invest in your future. I spoke to the other rebbeim, of course, and they concurred or they corroborated. I didn't accept this boy. I said, this boy needs moral rehabilitation. The question, how many Tosafos he can read, or how much Black Gemara, or how well he got them, just simply there's an inner decay. And I wonder, he has to find yeshiva. Our yeshiva is not that type of yeshiva. He has to find a different type of yeshiva that more forward and frontal and rebuilding moral fiber. The first response has to be a sympathetic, visceral, emotional response. You see a human being in distress, you can't stop, you can't quiet your soul, you have to respond. But what happens when you don't always feel that sympathy? What happens when a person comes to your door and you don't identify or sympathize with their situation? And you may not be able to feel their pain as deeply as much as you try. Sometimes people come to my house. I'm not a very wealthy person. I'm an educator. I'm a Rebbe. Typically, the people that approach me are people from the Haredi, so-called Black Hat World. Betar is a Black Hat community right near Alonsbrot. These people never had gainful employment. They've never sought gainful employment. It's a culture that breeds poverty. And week after week, they come asking for a nickel, not a nickel, but shekel. And as crisis sets in, the entire system collapses. It's a flimsy house of cards. You pull out one card. If their wife needs a medical illness, or the dental treatment, or the kids getting married, have large families. And my instinct is to say, get a job. The system isn't working. The formula isn't successful. You have to make a change. But they're not standing at my door listening for a message. They want a shekel. And sometimes it's hard for me to identify with their plight because I don't necessarily agree or concur with their lifestyle. So I can't feel the same sympathy I would feel to my neighbor or to my friend. But I see a human being standing in front of me, and it's Elam or Kim that's in crisis, and I, as best as I can, try to respond with my wallet and with my company, with my friendship, with my smile, with a cup of water. Do you need to use the bathroom? Do you need to make a phone call? Would you like an apple? Would you like a cookie? I don't have funds to deliver significant financial relief, but I do have the heart to try to encourage that person and look him in the eye and treat him like a human being and give him some of the respect he's undoubtedly been stripped of. But there's a third leg to the faithful. There's a third drive for chesed. There's a third purpose and reason. And as any three-legged table, or as any table, the more legs you affix to the table, the sturdier it will be. We just read yesterday, Parshas B'Shalach, Zeh Keli V'Yanveyu Elokei Aviv Aramenu. We stood together at Yom Suf, witnessing a historical, epic event. Splitting of Yom Suf, Kriyas Yom Suf, the splitting of the sea. Arguably the two most dramatic events in Jewish history, the splitting of the sea and the quaking of the mountain, in Mitzvah Hashem next week's parsha. Can't prove that they occurred, but deeply recessed within our hearts, within our neshamas, we believe it happened. We received traditions from our parents and our grandparents. It happened. And we saw the Rabbanu Shalom like we never saw him before. And we recited, Zeh Keli V'Yanveyu. This is my God. This is my Kriyas Shema, which is a maturation of unequaled proportions. Remember in Parshas Shmos, where the Rabbanu Shalom dispenses or dispatches Moshe to deliver redemption to the Jewish people, and Moshe asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how should I introduce you? How should I refer to you? They've been broken by 200 plus years of persecution. Their religious spirits have been eviscerated. How do I describe God, not to a yeshiva bacher, or to a girl in yeshiva or seminary, or to an educated audience, but to a band of slaves? And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe about the Shmos? Don't be too sophisticated. Don't describe a creator. Don't describe a father. Don't describe theology. Don't describe philosophy. Don't describe miracles. Tell them the stories of their grandparents and the God that their grandparents knew. And I'm that same God. Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. I was there for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm here for you. Emunah Pshuta. When it's all reduced, and our deep moments of doubt, do we turn to a book of philosophy? Do we turn to some miracle? Do we reason with religion? Or do we just imagine our bubbies and zadies, and their bubbies and zadies, and their bubbies and zadies, and our rebbies, and our teachers, and our parents, and we say, it worked for them, it works for me. Don't become too sophisticated. They can't understand God yet. They're slaves. I was there. Remember the story of the Akedah? You all told your children bedtime stories Moshe told the Jews before you put them to sleep at night? That's the God who's here for you. Remember Yitzchak lying with his neck taut on Akedah, on the Mizbeach, and the Rabbanu Shalom descendants sent the Malachim, and I don't want human sacrifice? That's his coming. Remember all of Yaakov's struggles with Esav and Lavan and mysterious angels? He's back. Ravon Hashem's here to redeem them. Tani Parshas B'Shalach, they become more mature. They've experienced Yitzias Mitzrayim. And now they can actually stand on the Amsof and recite, Zeh Keli, the Anveyu, the Ke'avi, is not just the God of my father. He's Keli, he's my God. I understand, we have a relationship. He redeemed us. We're no longer slaves. He liberated us. Zeh Keli is our God. Anyone here speak Spanish? In the middle of a Spanish-speaking population. In Spanish, in English, there's no discrimination between the word this, as in this piece of paper, or an abstract this, as in an idea, this idea, or that book, or that idea. They're both referred to with the same word, this or that. But in Spanish, as far as I remember, I took Spanish a long time ago, esto and está. Think, esto is this, and está is something more abstract, or I may be mistaken. My Spanish teacher is probably very embarrassed. Yeah, I got a good mark, but I remember that. In Hebrew as well, there's a word that describes something so palpable that you're actually pointing to it. Does anyone know that word when you point to something? Zeh. Zeh ma'isa menorah. HaChodesh hazeh lachem. The Ribbono Shel Olam pointed to the moon. Ribbono Shel Olam described the menorah. He actually presented a menorah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezeh tochlu v'ezeh lo tochlu. The Ribbono Shel Olam brought animal by animal. Kosher, 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 treif. Kosher, 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 treif. Et zeh tochlu, et zeh lo tochlu, the mafriseh parsa. So we stood at the Yam Suf and described the Ribbono Shel Olam with the word zeh. Zeh. It was so palpable. But we all have religious highs. What happens the day after? How do we lock it in? How do we translate Yom Kippur into Yud Aleph Tishrei? Or Pesach into not Chalamoy, but Isruchag? Or Tisha B'Av into Yud Aleph B'Av? Or whatever moment we've had a religious energy into our routine. That's the challenge, and as you see in Parshas Kitisa, we don't always succeed. We walk down the mountain of Har Sinai, and challenges such as the Egel blindside us. It says Zekeli, but the next word is Vianveo. Vianveo is the translation of Zekeli. So what does the word Vianveo mean? So the Gemara interprets Vianveo as follows. Source number 8. Itanya. Zekeli Vianveo. The Gemara quotes one position. I think we're running out of time, so I'll skip this shita. Some other time. It's about beauty and art, aesthetics, and richness in performing mitzvahs, not just to perform mitzvahs robotically sterile, but beauty and joy in the performance of mitzvahs, art, and aesthetics. Abba Shalom, source number 8, line 2, the anveyu is a conjugation. Split the word the anveyu into two words. The anveyu should be split into vani mu. I want to be like him. I am him. Me and my creator. I want to become like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, how does a person become like a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's a very ambitious task. It's almost indescribable. Baruch Hu is a mystery. Unknowable. Transcendent. Indecipherable. How do I become like Hashem? There are many ways to become like your Baruch Hu. I daven. I study Torah, I perform His commandments, I participate in His historical challenge. I express solidarity with His children, with His creatures. But according to Abba Shaul, I become like a Kadosh Baruch Hu in my pursuit of His moral identity. I sense the morality of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, Mechalkel Chayim Bechesed, returning to Abraham Avinu, I try to fashion my life, my neshama, my experience in His image. Abba Shaul Omer V'anveyu V'domer Lo. Be like Ribbono Shel Olam. Ma hu chanun v'rachum. If He is merciful and compassionate, af ata haye chanun v'rachum. I'm also compassionate. I'm also full of mercy. I also try to deliver provision, sustenance, help, and assistance. This is the third leg of chesed. In many ways, excuse the expression, it's almost egocentric. According to Rabbi Akiva, I perform chesed because I need to relieve someone's distress. I need to identify and sympathize with suffering. According to Ben Azai, I need to restore, to rehabilitate the lost divine potential. According to Rabbi Shaul, I don't perform chesed because the recipient deserves it or requires it. I require it. I need it. What would I be like without chesed? How empty would my life be? How self-centric, how self-interested, how petty, how crass, how ignoble. I've only thought about it with myself. And now Bashal introduces two ingredients to chesed, beyond the sweep of Rabbi Akiva and beyond the sweep of Ben Azai. Number one, because chesed is a search and a pursuit of the elusive divine image of Tzelem Elokim, of Hashem's chesed. Chesed in Judaism is not relative. I do not compare myself to others. I do not live by communal standards. I live by a perfect ethical ideal that challenges me towards perfection. I don't compete with others' chesed. I don't follow public standards or norms. I have an inner clock that ticks. I'm chasing my own shadow, cast by their own shadow. I'm completely oblivious to other people's standards, mores, or promises. I'm not racing against another human being. I'm racing towards their own shadow. And time is quickly elapsing. So I better accelerate. Number two, if it is reformative and transformative to the human soul, chesed has to be personalized, not just institutionalized. Baruch Hashem, we've established incredible organizations that have disseminated and distributed chesed to broader circles than we could ever have imagined. About 36 hours ago or so, we all sang Eish Hashchayil around the table, and Eish Hashchayil describes the family as an organ of chesed distribution. An entire family geared towards distributing chesed. Well, look how we have augmented our chesed potential by forming organizations and institutions, and Emeritz Hashem, we're suffering a financial letdown and fallout, and hopefully our institutions will recover and be able to allocate the types of chesed. I sometimes chuckle to myself when I read in the newspaper a famous celebrity, an athlete, or an actor or actress is being celebrated because they donated $50,000 to charity. I laugh when I think of it. These are the big heavy hitters, the big swingers in Hollywood. $50,000. What types of chesed do you deliver? What types of monies and funds and time? It's preposterous to compare the two. But chesed has to exist at a personal level as well. Beyond institutions, beyond organizations. And to conclude, I'll return. I see Dr. Sanya? Sorry. Ilanis. Well, you didn't show it. I want to perform a chesed. It would be hypocritical to describe chesed, I feel. Taking too much time, so. I'll conclude very quickly with our point of origin. He didn't just focus on chesed at a time of chaos and frenzy and hustle bustle and euphoria. There's one word in this past week's parsha that captures the heroism of chesed. It's a small word, three letters, Imo. The Gemara in Nazir questions, can a tummy make a person who's come into contact with a dead person? He can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, but can he enter the region where the Levim lived? Machna Levia. Has to leave Machna Shrina, but can he enter Machna Levia? The Gemara in Nazir claims, yes, he can. How do we know that a tummy make can enter Machna Levia? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was tummy for the majority of those 40 years in the desert, because he carried the bones with him. And he lived in Machna Levia. So, obviously, a tamei meis, a person is impure because of conduct of a dead person, and the machna.
Imo.
Very easy to delegate chesed to all sorts of secondaries and delegates and assistants and Yehoshua's and Kohen's. But Moshe carried those votes. Imo. The language of the Gemara, Imo b'mechitzasa. Because of the restorative impact on Moshe. Moshe needed to carry those votes. I don't want to give those votes to other people. It's my honor to carry them. I have to take one more minute, but I think it's important to describe in Yeshiva. 3 years ago, we started a program. I'm more proud of this program than any other part of my role as a rabbi, than any other shir I've given, any other dvar Torah. 3 years ago, we started a program in Yeshiva for special needs young men. We have 7 Down syndrome boys in our Yeshiva for an entire year. They're special staff. They study an hour in the morning, a special educational staff to teach them more or less at a 7th grade level. And then they go out for vocational training for 4 or 5 hours, and they come back in the afternoon, and they learn chavrusas, they rotate with regular needs, and at night they have athletics and swimming and arts and crafts. It's not a chesed for that population, although it certainly is. I crave that program for our regular needs boys. Our regular needs boys. These are future fathers and husbands, communal leaders, heads of shuls, heads of organizations. What type of leaders are we building if they only interact with talented A students? I want them to learn the chavrusa. Because I want that moral transformation to occur within their hearts, within their soul. Ma'uchanu rafatachan. The table of chesed has 3 legs. And the more expert or sensitive we become to each of those values, the more versatile and rich our chesed will be. It's versatile because there are moments that Rabbi Akiva's chesed is compelling and moments that it isn't. And in those moments we draw upon Ben Azai's chesed, Tzel HaMelukim, and sometimes we don't recognize the Tzel HaMelukim in individuals, but we realize the self-interest of chesed, so to speak, transformative effect of chesed. So the range of our chesed, the range of our attitudes about chesed allows versatility, sweep in our chesed performance, but in addition, depth and resonance, profundity, meaning, joy. How many worlds can we change? With a grand act of chesed? Or just with a simple smile? When someone needs it. The Akiva's chesed is the chesed of Yahshua Re'ach HaKamach. Ben Azai's chesed is the chesed of restoring Tzel HaMelukim. The lost divine potential. Abba Shaul's chesed is pursuing the Baruch Shem. This end, Mirz Hashem, if we excel in chesed, now come to the Baruch Shem saying, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Why did the sea split? Because of Yosef. Why did the sea split? The last of our Torah I heard from my mother's father, Mazin. Because Avram had the presence of mind to split the wood before he went up to Hiram Ariah so that Yitzchak wouldn't suffer anymore, the waters of the Yamsuf split. Because Avram split the wood, the waters of the Yamsuf. Why did he receive water? Because Avram ran to deliver water. Why did he receive man? The only way we can force the Rebbe Shalom is by doing Haram Chesed. We need Chesed. So we start, we look to the Rebbe Shalom, now it's your turn. Go to Chesed to Tovim, or maybe go to the Levim. Now we want your ultimate Chesed. Had enough. We fought long enough. We're building our people, building our nation. Now we want your chesed. And that's the same. We should be suffering for the punishment of chesed.